If you have your Bible, turn with me this morning to Acts chapter 20. That's where we'll be this morning, Acts chapter 20, verse 35. And we're concluding our series entitled Contrast. We've spent the last 4 weeks, and this week being the fifth, talking about contrasting themes in Scripture, light and darkness, freedom and bondage, and life and death. And we're thinking differently from how we typically think. It's challenging us not to just accept things the way the world tells us, but instead to see how the principles of God apply to our everyday life. And this morning, we're talking about giving and receiving. Giving and receiving. So I just want to start this morning just by reading our main verse, Acts chapter 20, verse 35, and then talking a little bit about this principle and kind of maybe gauging where we're all at on the giving and receiving spectrum. Acts chapter 20, verse 35 says this, "In every way," this is Paul writing, "in every way I've shown you that it is necessary to help the weak by laboring like this, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, because he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." It's this quote by Christ that I want to focus on a little bit this morning. Jesus Christ says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Is that a true statement? Now, I am very aware of the fact that I'm standing before a church congregation saying Jesus said this and then asking, is it true? So I'm assuming what I'm going to hear back is yes. If Jesus says it, it must be true. And we accept a lot of things that Christ says as truth, and we absolutely should. But this principle of giving and receiving doesn't always seem right when we flesh it out in our lives. Now, again, I'm going to tell you the end of the sermon, and that is, it is true that it is more blessed to give than to receive. But as we just start out and we think about the principle of giving and receiving, does that really work in our everyday lives? We see glimpses of it. You can kind of understand this principle a little bit when you think of birthday parties. Right? As a kid, birthday parties or your own birthday party is the greatest event of the year. I mean, Christmas is great. You receive presents. That's wonderful. Other holidays such as Easter or Valentine's Day, you may receive something. But on your birthday, everyone is giving you something. And as a kid, boy, it is a great day. They made a cake. They're giving it just for you. Has your name on it. They're giving you presents. Not everybody else is getting presents. You're receiving and they're giving. And it is a wonderful day as a kid. Can you agree with me? How awesome. Well, you can remember back. Now, some of you, it's been a while. Think back to dinosaurs, you know. And you can remember having your birthday and receiving all of these wonderful gifts. But then we fast forward a little bit as parents. And I have to say, I enjoy my daughter's birthdays so much more than I ever enjoyed my own. It is more blessed to see them receive gifts than it ever was for me to receive one on my own. And I'm told, I've not got there yet, some of you can testify to this after the service, I'm told that with grandkids it's even better. You know, if you thought it was good to give gifts to your kids, wait till you have grandkids. And you can see the principle that the giving is so much more blessed than the receiving. But our day-to-day lives sometimes contradicts this. Just common sense seems to contradict this. I challenge you. How about this for, here's your invitation before the invitation. If anyone wants to take me up on this, right after the service, okay, reach down into your wallet and whatever cash you have in there, pull out and just hand it to someone else. Don't give it to me. I'm not a preacher looking. Don't give it to me. Just random someone else. Maybe someone you don't even know very well. Just walk up and say, the invitation of the service this morning says it's better to give than to receive. Have all the cash I have on me. Right? Some of you are smiling because you don't carry cash and you're skating off, you know. But a few of you are sweating it a little bit. You know, there goes lunch plans. You know, there goes what I was going to do this week. And if you're like me, maybe you've taken out, you don't normally carry cash, but you've taken out a little cash because you have something you got to pay this week, and you're going, if that was the case, I don't know that I would feel very blessed to give. Now, I have found this to be true. Every time I give a dollar away, I have a dollar less for myself. Every single time. And so in that sense, how am I interpreting it's better to give than to receive? It seems like the world would tell us, and common sense would tell us, it's better to receive because then you have more. And so the contrasting principle we have here in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, is that Jesus says it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so is that true this morning? Is it really true, not just in the idea of giving, but in the actual act of giving to others, of serving others? We're going to look at reasons why it is better to give than to receive, but let's first define what we mean by giving. For some of you all, it is a very narrow view of giving, and you immediately jump to where all of my illustrations did, and that is material possessions, giving away money or presents. And I use those examples because they're concrete and they're black and white and they make sense. You can see a dollar bill. You can physically give it to someone else. Or you can physically hand a material gift to someone. But giving, while it is not less than that, is so much more than that. It's not just giving our material possessions. It's giving our time and our energy. It's giving ourself and sacrifice to sit and listen to someone else as they're sharing their burdens. It's giving of our service to our church and to our community. It's this idea of sacrifice. And so when we think of giving this morning, we certainly don't ignore the material giving because that is applicable, but we expand it to understand how much greater giving means. It is giving of ourselves and sacrifice. And it is much better to give than to receive. There are probably 100 reasons why that principle is true. Maybe some of them are going through your mind right now. If you do a Google search, and you can, you'll find some of the reasons I have here. You'll also find probably 100 others. I found one particular list of 50 reasons why it's better to give than to receive. And one of them was simply what we mentioned a moment ago. It's a command. Jesus said it was better to give than to receive. And so, of course it is. And others of them are more kind of heartfelt. It makes you feel good when you give. It gives you this proper emotion. All of those benefits may be true, but I want to look at three biblical reasons. Three reasons from Scripture why I believe and Scripture teaches that giving is better than receiving. So follow along with me as we kind of go through a journey through a couple of passages of Scripture on giving and receiving. The first principle is this. Giving is how God demonstrates His love for us. Giving is how God demonstrates His love for us. We realize giving is shown by example. Jesus did not say, give, it's better to give than to receive, and give all to me because I'm going to take it all from you. Jesus was not a receiver, He was a giver. As a matter of fact, a verse that we quoted just a moment ago during our worship is a perfect example of how God demonstrates His love for us through giving. John 3:16 says, "For God loved the world in this way. He gave His one and only Son." He gave His one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. Giving allows us to peer into the character of God. It allows us to see a little bit more about who He is. And His character is not one to merely receive, but it is one to give, to sacrifice. And so this allows us to see a glimpse of who God is. Now let's be perfectly clear. If there is any being in all of the universe and beyond that is worthy of receiving, it is God. If there is anyone who is worthy to not give anything but only get, it is the perfect Creator. It is the perfect Son. It is the Holy Spirit who is complete in everything and is worthy of all praise and honor and everything we can give Him. And yet His character does not merely receive, but it sacrifices. Contrast that with you and I, who really do not deserve to receive. We're not worthy to get. We, in our sinful state, actually owe and really need to pay for our sins committed. And yet God puts us on the receiving end of his son's sacrifice. God becomes the giver. The one who is worthy to receive becomes the giver. And you and I, who are indebted to give, become those who receive. This shows us a glimpse of who God is. And every time we give, we are becoming more and more like the image of God that we were created to be. In Genesis chapter 2 and 3, we find the story of the creation of man and then the subsequent fall of man. And in the creation of man, God sets him apart from the rest of the creation. And he says, man and woman will be created in my image. Male and female are created in the image of God. What does that mean to be in the image of God? Well, we don't have enough time to break down the image of God this morning. However, of all the things that the image of God may consist of in our lives, one of them is we reflect his character. We reflect who God is. We are not God. We are not gods. But we are a reflection of who God is. And one of the ways that we can demonstrate who God is and share God's love with others is by our giving attitude and our giving nature, our sacrificial hearts. That we as Christians take upon ourselves to be the most giving people on the planet. Because it is a reflection of the God who gave his own son. And we show love to others by the giving of not only our material possessions, but by our time and our service, by our sacrifice to listen to others and to help others. We are givers because it demonstrates to the rest of the world God's love for us. A second reason why giving is better than receiving is because giving communicates something important about our own personal worldview. The fact that we give or the fact that we don't give is a reflection of who God is, and even greater, it's a reflection of who we think God is. Whether we give or hoard helps us to understand the amount of faith we have in God the Creator. I've got a little secret for you this morning. How many of you all own your own home? All right? How many of you all own a car? Even if you have a loan on it, you own it. All right? How many of you all own something that you value greatly? All right? All of us own something. It's ours, right? It belongs to us. Let me tell you a little secret. You don't own anything by yourself. Not a single thing. There's not a piece of land that you own, not a vehicle that you own, not a prized possession that you own. You have been lent these things. God is the creator of all things, and as the creator, he is the sole owner of the universe, of the cosmos, and of every possession that you have. As a matter of fact, Psalm chapter 50 puts it this way. Psalm 50:10, "For every animal of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills." And just in case there's confusion of cultures between when this was written before Christ and here we are 2017, God is making very clear that the wealth of the people, their wealth lay in their livestock. Their wealth belongs to God. Every animal of the forest that's wild and every cattle that is tame, every sign of wealth and possession that anyone has ever owned belongs to the Lord. And so you and I, when we hoard and refuse to give, fail to acknowledge that it does not belong to us. It says a lot about our worldview. Our giving and receiving says a lot about whether or not we have faith in the God who created all things. And we understand how this works. When we create something, we have pride over it. It's ownership for us. That's why you'll take anything your kids or grandkids create, no matter how great a picture or how poor a picture it is, and you will slap it on your refrigerator. So every time they go by, you look and you will say, that is something I'm proud of because my kid created it. It is theirs. We take great pride in our possessions, in the things that we make with our own hands. Some of you all have taken a few painting classes that we've had, one here at the church and others elsewhere. And when you're done, you have this beautiful work of art. You know, maybe it's a snowman with snot dribbling down its nose, or maybe it's a picture of a field of flowers next to a lake, or maybe you've kind of put your own personal touch. But you know what I found is that as good or as bad as those pictures are, everyone takes those home and hangs them up somewhere. I've been in some of y'all's houses and I've seen them hanging there. They're proud of them. Why? Because I made it. Now, my daughter participated in one of those, and I wanted to be able to display it proudly at my house and, you know, be all excited. And I found out really quickly she painted that and I didn't. She had other plans for it. That went to grandma's house, right? You know? But you know what? She made it. It's hers. She has control to decide where it goes. God is the creator of all things, and He owns everything. Every animal, every cattle, every possession, every piece of land, every tangible thing, every imaginative thing, everything that's ever been created belongs to God. And we are blessed that He has said, use it. When He created the world, He said it is for you to have dominion over. It is for you to have control. God did not say it's yours to own, but He did say it is yours to use, and we are blessed to have that. But our giving, when we give it away, is a reminder that we don't own it, that our worldview is not wrapped up in ourselves to think that we have possession of everything. Instead, it communicates that God Himself is in control of all things. And so it is better to give than to receive, to remind us that it is not ours to begin with. And finally, when we think of practically giving to others, giving is the way God blesses others. It is through giving that God chooses to use us to be a blessing. Some of the most arrogant people in the history of the world were Old Testament Israelites. They were so full of themselves. And as you read the Old Testament, you will see them over and over again invoke this phrase, "We are God's chosen people. We have it right and everyone else has it wrong." And by the way, God certainly did choose them and elevate them above other nations and gave them blessings that other nations didn't have. They were receivers of great things. But what we fail to remember is that God did not give them blessings so that they could receive. He gave them blessings so that they could give. All the way back at the beginning of God's covenant with the nation of Israel, before there was a nation, there was just one man, Abraham. And from Abraham, he would have one son, who would have two sons, who would have 12 sons, who would have a whole nation of Israelites. And so here we have God at the beginning of this blessing to the nation of Israel, these eventual arrogant people who were always trying to receive from God, God giving them clearly the blessing and a reminder of what the blessing is for. Genesis 12:2 says, "I, God, will make you, Abraham, into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And listen to this, you will be a blessing." So it wasn't, "Abraham, I'm blessing you and I'm pouring all this on you so that you can feel good about yourself." No. God says, "I'm blessing you so that you will be a blessing to someone else." And there were pockets of history in the Old Testament where the Israelites got that and were great, faithful givers to those around them. But there's a large sense where they turn inward. And instead of receiving from God and giving to others, they simply received and hoarded. And I will say, the Christian church in the 21st century is dangerously close to following the same pattern of receiving without giving, of believing that God has blessed us, and oh, has He blessed us, for the simple purpose of our own blessing. As if God saw something in us and said, "You're worthy to receive. I'll give it to you." No, God uses giving as a way to bless others. And He wants to use you and I in that blessing. This morning, I wonder how much we receive from God that we hoard. How much we hold on to from the blessings that He's given us and don't share that with others. Can I give you a few practical ways that you can give in your faithfulness to God? Just a couple of brief ones. This is not an extensive list, but perhaps just a short practical way that you can give to others. And the first is the biggest and maybe the most obvious and definitely the most neglected. The best gift that you can give to the world, the best way you can receive the blessing God has given you and give to others, is by sharing the gospel message with someone else. By giving your own testimony and telling others that God has blessed you and that He wants to be a blessing to them. Not that your life is perfect, not that your life has no bumps or bruises, but that you have a salvation that has secured your eternal soul. And God wants them to receive that same blessing. One of the best ways we can give instead of receive is to take the blessing we have received and share it with someone else. Other practical ways that we can give is in our own attitude. Develop a servant's heart. Look out for the need of others as opposed to our own. Now, we understand that when we give, we don't always receive back. It's not that giving is better than receiving, because ultimately you get more. No, giving is giving. You give that money in your wallet away, it's gone. There are a few instances where you hear of the miraculous returning back to you. Just this past week, we watched a video for our new small group, the Cornerstone small group that meets before church here. We were watching a video, and one of the illustrations that the speaker gave was how he had a neighbor who was going through a messy divorce, and the husband who had left had emptied the bank account, and this mother now had no way to pay her rent. And so the speaker said, his wife came and said, we need to go and help them. We need to go give to them. And the speaker said, I was counting up. If we give their rent, we don't have any rent for ourselves. She said, it's better to give than to receive. We need to be pouring in and investing in people in our community. And so they went and they wrote the check. And so he's waiting and he's sweating it out. His bank account doesn't have enough to pay for his own rent coming up. And it's 3 days out and God's not sent him anything. And 2 days out and God's not sent him anything. And 1 day out and it's the miraculous letter in the mail from a previous someone where he's spoken and said, I'm not sure why God's laid you on my heart, but you had a big impact. And I felt led to give you this $1,000. And they were able to pay their rent. And those are really neat stories. I have my own personal story that way, where Hannah and I were struggling early in our ministry, looking for a new church, interviewed at one church, and it wasn't the place to be. It just wasn't the right fit. However, a few weeks later, they sent us a check for about $1,000 saying, we just sensed that you had a financial need. We just wanted to meet it. We know you're not coming here, but the Lord provides. There are some miraculous stories like that, but you know what I found? There are just as many and maybe more stories where we give and that $1,000 check doesn't come. Where we sacrifice and we don't receive back. And that's when we have to ask ourselves, is having the servant heart of giving really better than receiving? And we reflect back on the principles we've learned this morning. Even if God did not bless me materially, financially, or even emotionally, do I trust that giving is a reflection of who God is? Do I trust in a God who owns everything and recognize that it's His and not mine? Even if I receive nothing back, will I take the blessings I have received and share them with others? And so developing a servant's heart is a difficult task because it says, I don't care if I get anything back, I'm just going to give. This morning, we're all in a place of a position where we can give and where we can receive. Scripture does not say it's evil to receive. Quite the opposite. There is a message in Scripture that says you must be willing to receive in order to have eternal life. And so this morning, maybe you need to reflect on the character of God who has given His own Son. Maybe for you, the act of giving is foreign because you've never received Jesus Christ as your own Savior. You've never received the blessing that we've talked about this morning. And there is a time and there is a place where you just need to sit back and say, God, I'll give once I receive the blessing from you. And that blessing will come at the moment of our salvation. The moment that we throw our hands up and say, I've tried things on my own. It's not going the way that I had always hoped. That moment of salvation comes when we say, Lord, I will follow your way. Forgive my way of living. Forgive my sins and forgive where I've done wrong. Lord, help me now to do things your way. And in that, we will receive the blessing of a hope of eternal life. We will receive the assurance of salvation that we will spend in eternity with the God who created us in perfection, how he created us to be. And in receiving that salvation, we will then be in a position to give biblically and faithfully to others. So this morning, our invitation is twofold. One is, have we made the ultimate reception? Have we received Jesus Christ in a way that forgives us of our sins, confessing our sins, in a way that leads our lives, committing to him as our Lord? And then secondly, are we now sharing that blessing with others, developing an attitude of giving instead of taking? Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the supreme example of sacrifice through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, although you deserve to receive, although you deserve to have, you did not hold that, you gave that. Lord, we thank you for your example, and we thank you now that you have used us to bless others. Lord, I pray that you would help us develop a heart to give, to serve, to put others before ourselves, remembering that you said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Lord, this morning I pray for those in here who are trying to figure out how they can give when they've not ever received blessing from you. Lord, help them to understand the blessing will not come in the form of material blessing, but it will come in assurance of salvation and an eternal hope, of knowing that there's more to this life. And so, Lord, we pray that those in here would receive the message of salvation, that they would confess their sins and their lifestyle, their way of living has fallen short of your perfect example. Lord, that we would repent, change our ways, and follow you fully. Lord, as we receive that salvation, Lord, then let it open up doors for us to give to others. It's in your name we pray. Amen.